to Spreading the Good Stuff, a podcast for regional women who want to thrive in their work, wellness, family and community. We share stories of triumph, challenge, growth and change in business and in life, and offer helpful insights and advice to empower you to live your best life, however that looks for you.
Welcome back to Spreading the Good Stuff. This is episode 6. My name is Christy O'Brien.
I'm Leonie Cannon.
And I'm Katrina Myers.
Welcome, ladies, back to the podcast. Lovely to be back chatting with you after a little bit of a break for the school holidays, which felt like it went forever, which was lovely. With Easter and just time to just be, which I felt was needed, and it was nice just to slow down a little bit. But today on the podcast, we're going to be talking about friendship, and it's something that's come up on a couple of our channels this last little bit. I know that it's been discussed on the Bang On podcast, the No Filter Mia Friedman podcast, and also Jack at the Broad Place was talking about it just last week. And mainly, specifically, I suppose, female friendships. I know Jack talked about, you know, male friendships and how that kind of sits in our lives as well, platonic male friendships. But the conversation was really focused around what happens when a friendship shifts or if that friendship ends, which can be traumatic and hard. None of us really know how to deal with it. And I know we're going to talk today about, you know, what we may have done when this has happened or how we cope, how we perhaps don't talk about it because there might be some shame around it, or we just don't know how to deal with it. So that's the conversation for today, and we would love you to touch base to on our socials or even just, you know, contact us to kind of, you know, tell us how you have dealt with this situation because it can be really tricky. So we might kick off today with you, Leonie, and just also to give our take on friendship, I suppose, why friendships are so important, particularly female friendships, and how they can be a challenge when they shift, even when they shift.
Mm-hmm. Hello, everyone. Great to be back. I love that we're talking about this. Female friendships are, I think, so underrated. And the important role that they play in our lives, we often take for granted. For me personally, they have been such a huge part of my life since I was a kid. I have always valued their importance almost to a fault. And I think back when we started this podcast around episode 4, I think it was, we spoke about positive relationships. Not just with friends, but any relationship in our lives. And we didn't touch on friendship at that point. And I think I might have shared back then. I can't quite remember. I'll have to go back and check it. But that there came a stage in my life once I'd had kids and with my husband where we had a fairly, deep conversation around the fact that I almost placed my friendships, the importance I placed on them at times felt like it was greater than my family. And that was really hard to hear at the time. And after that point, which was probably, looking back now, probably eight years ago at least, and from that moment and from that conversation, I had to make a bit of a shift in my life just to make sure that I was always putting family first and that it wasn't always about my girlfriends. So that was a really challenging thing for me to do back at that time. And I remember it not just being challenging for me, but it created a bit of a shift in friendships with those around me because people were used to me being so available and always there, always the one organising the gatherings and the parties and, you know, the get-togethers and the girls' weekends away. And then suddenly I stopped doing a lot of that stuff and I needed to. It was just there needed to be a bit of a shift. But that hasn't changed the fact that female friendships are just so, so bloody important. It just is that, I guess, at this stage and season of life for us in our 40s and having young children and aging parents and all those things and working full time and having lots of demands on our time, it is a matter of prioritising things, and that gets really challenging. I find that to be one of the greatest challenges for me with friendships is how to keep on top of it because I love all my girlfriends and I love time with them. But that feels like it's harder to achieve during this season of life at the moment. And I remember just sort of talking again to the importance of female friendships being raised from such a young age, my sister and I, with mum. She banged on about it. And I think that's why I always prioritised female friendships so much, even in the point of being during my marriage and with kids, because mum was forever saying, look after your girlfriends. You know, they are so important in your life. They will be there every step of the way, you know, through the ups, through the downs. Make sure you surround yourself with plenty of girlfriends and, you know, for different reasons. And, you know, the ones that you might talk to every day, the ones that you talk to weekly, monthly, yearly, you won't see them all the time, but make sure you look after them and that you, you know, you water that garden, because men will come and go, your children grow up, all that kind of stuff. And what's left at all at the end of all of that is your girlfriends. And it's so true. And when my dad died, when we were young, and mum was still in her 40s when he died, we saw that play out in the biggest way. She hadn't have had those women around her, that close network of friends. I don't know how she would have got through it. That's what got her through that time, and all of us. And we saw that play out with her girlfriends just coming in and being there the whole way through. I think that kind of probably backgrounds why I've always put my friends first. But I definitely find it challenging in this stage of life when there's so many competing priorities to make sure you're fitting everyone in and you're looking after everyone and you're letting your girlfriends know how much you love them and how much they mean to you.
And I love what you were saying then, Lee, about you know, looking after your girlfriends. And it kind of just reminded me of what we were talking about before we came on air. And I can't wait to hear what you have to say on this, Katrina. I know you've got lots to share. But I also feel like too, when you get to a certain age and you get a little bit older and wiser, you know, friendships are two-way street. So when you say looking after your girlfriends, I think in reverse, if those girlfriends aren't looking after you in the same way, then sometimes they have to shift or you have to move away, and that can be hard. What do you think, Katrina?
Yeah. Hello, everybody. I love this topic and I'm fascinated by it and have learned so much about the importance, the meaning of friendships over my life, I guess. Excuse me. So like you, Leonie, my girlfriends and my, you know, I've got friends since, you know, from kids, like from babies, still lifelong friends. And I've got new friends who are so, so important to me. And my girlfriends really are just so, so important to me. But I've also had, you know, a challenging, probably only one major one that was really, really challenging, which I've talked about on this podcast before. And I'm really happy to say that relationship with this person is in a really good place now. And I've got so much sort of perspective on it now. And I can look back and probably even last time I spoke about it, I was still sort of in the grieving process from it, because it was probably 5 years ago, I think, nearly, that I spoke about on this podcast. And I think the reason why I'm so passionate about talking about this subject is because when I had a friendship that broke down, I felt a lot of shame, so much shame around it. And for a long time, I carried that shame within the relationship and I didn't know how to get out of it. Like, I knew that it wasn't a healthy relationship for me, but I didn't know how to exit it. And I think that there's so much talk about how to break up, you know, and breakups and romantic breakdowns, but we just don't talk about friendship breakups and how to navigate those. And so for me, I remember I'd been sort of probably, I was quite a few years into the friendship and I knew that it just wasn't healthy for me and it wasn't the sort of friendship that I wanted and it was very different from all of my other friendships and I knew it wasn't right. And I just thought there was something wrong with me and I couldn't sort of understand why I couldn't make it work and like what was going on. It was really hard to kind of navigate it. And then I remember that this book popped up somewhere, or I heard someone talking about, and this was probably even before podcasts, you know, and someone talked about this idea of a toxic friendship. And I know that we don't like to, and I don't necessarily like to, I don't mind using the word toxic in terms of a dynamic, but I don't think people are toxic. I'm, you know, and I know you about that before too, Lee, and I really agree with that. Like, people aren't toxic, just sometimes relationships can be, you know, and toxic is a harsh word, but it didn't, at the time it resonated with me. And so I think it was really just this like, oh gosh, I'm not the only one who's had this experience. Because I think as especially as girls growing up, you're just taught that there's this whole like, be nice to everybody, get along with everybody, just always be kind, you know, like, and so you do feel like you really shouldn't have a friendship that breaks down. So I think normalizing that and then learning how to navigate when you do want to break up. I mean, I'm listening recently to both the Mamma Mia, Mia Friedman on No Filter, And then I downloaded the Friendship Project, actually. It's Rebecca Sparrow started it with, I think it's Liz and Sarah. They have a podcast as well called 40-something. And, you know, they're just talking about they surveyed their listeners, and so many people just ghost people. And, you know, they said so many people wrote in and said they'd either been ghosted or they'd ghosted people themselves. And this all sort of relates back to this idea that as women we want to avoid conflict. We don't know how to actually, and this has definitely happened with me as well. Instead of being able to communicate, you know, how I felt and maybe work towards, you know, a better outcome, I didn't know how to deal with it. I just avoided the conflict of it and I just sort of pushed on. And so I think there's a lot to learn in how to actually navigate friendship breakups if, you know, you don't want to, rather than just ghosting, because ghosting can just leave people feeling so empty and lost and like, what have I done and there's no solutions. What do you think, guys?
No, can I just ask on that, on ghosting, how would you describe ghosting?
So it's an interesting one. So just completely shutting off, no contact whatsoever. So to be fair,
instantly,
nothing and no explanation. Just cut you off, never talk to you again, and don't explain why. So interestingly, like when I tried to break up with this relationship, this friendship that I was in, I did try to do the subtle, like just pull back, but it actually wasn't enough. Like the other person kind of didn't quite get it or needed more or whatever. So I ended up having to kind of go through the whole process as well. So I guess that's the tricky part too. Like, you know, sometimes the subtly pulling back is not enough. But I do think that they're like just completely ghosting is probably not a mature, healthy way to handle the situation. I think often, especially if you've been friends with someone, they are sort of owed, not necessarily owed, but a healthier way to approach it might be to have some sort of explanation. Even if that means you don't want to speak to them again, like it's nice to kind of explain why that happened.
Mm-hmm. And I think in this situation too, like, and the Bang On podcast I listened to last week talked about, you know, ghosting or the opposite of, where people sort of, I suppose, say things and put things out there, and they talked about how people are using, you know, language, you know, psychology language, really, that we're kind of, you know, we are more aware of our emotions and we know how to articulate our emotions these days, probably compared to maybe 20 years ago, which is a good thing. But I think sometimes, you know, we can use words like, you know, toxic and once those words are out there, like you can't take them back. You know, that's where for me, honestly, I would be the ghosting, I think, because I don't know how I would be able to articulate it and what to put forward. I just don't know. What about you, Katrina?
Well, the other thing that I was thinking about this is too that, like, everything in the well-being relationship, you know, personal development space, it really all comes back to you as a person as well. And when I think back to where I was and how I was in my mental health condition in that relationship, like a lot of it was me, you know, and I can see that now. And it was how I was responding to things and how I was showing up and how I was affected by the things this person was doing and all those sorts of things. So I think a really good place to start with all of this is to try to do that, like inner reflection on like, well, how am I being in this relationship too? And always that's a good place to start, because if you can get that right first, then that might either help improve the relationship or give you the ability and the strength to exit it in a healthy way still, you know, like, but I think not being in that blame as a starting point, but more like bringing it back to, okay, well, how am I showing up in this and how can I sort that bit out first? And then how do I deal with this? And that goes for every single relationship, you know, that ever existed. But I think it's so important to have healthy friendships as well. Like that's the other thing that's part of it is, you know, it really is so many of the respondents were like, well, my only friend, I only have, you know, either my husband is my only friend or I have one other friend and it's like my mother or my sister. Like we need these healthy friendships because we know that like loneliness is a huge factor in mental health. And also relationships is like the number one indicator of a person's happiness. So it really is important to do this work, but I think it starts with you as well.
Yeah. So what you're saying is, Katrina, like if you do that inner reflection, looking at yourself first and how you're responding, do you believe that then helps you then try and kind of have some dialogue with the friend, or will it kind of make the end result better, like easier?
Yes. I think if you do the work on yourself first and figure out how you can feel good, function well, get healthy first, then and do your research. Like also just, you know, you don't actually necessarily, you can learn how to have a healthy conversation. There are tools,
yes.
There's ways to do these things, you know, in the nonviolent communication stuff, like just learning how to actually have these difficult conversations and don't avoid the conflict of it. But that, to not avoid conflict, you have to be in a good place yourself. Does that come from having self-esteem, self-confidence, the tools? So I think a big part of it is getting you to that, you know, healthy place where you feel empowered that you can have these difficult conversations and don't just avoid them. Like that's a really part of it. So yeah, I think the more you do the self-work, the better you're going to be in all of your relationships and then able to navigate these ones. And also to be able to then also identify the ones that aren't healthy for you.
Yes.
And it's okay to exit if that relationship is not serving you. Like if you're in a relationship where you are giving, 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 and there's no receiving and you're not getting anything out of it, then it's, yeah, maybe it's not a healthy one and that's fine. You need to exit it, but you need to be able to have the strength to do that in a healthy way.
I think what you're saying there about how to be a good friend, I guess it does come back absolutely to you being in the very best place you can be in. Because yeah, when we're in a good place ourselves, we're always showing up in our best way, and that reflects in our friendships. And I know I'm happy to admit when I'm not in a good place or when I'm feeling, you know, overwhelmed with work or life, and that happens regularly. But I have the tools to to bring myself back. But when I'm not in the best place and I'm feeling that way, I'm the kind of person that withdraws. I retreat, and I know that about myself. As much and all as I love my friends and being with my friends, when I'm feeling overwhelmed, I will go to ground, and that can be really difficult for friends in that they then take that personally, and it may just be that they've tried to make contact or can we catch up or even just a text message, and I might not be able to respond in that moment because I am, you know. I can give examples when I am absolutely out of the pump with deadlines coming from every direction and, you know, the kids and their lives and logistics and sport and husband and my parent, you know, my mum, all those different things. Then when you're suddenly getting 15 messages from friends just about, oh, you know, did you watch this movie or something, I can't actually respond in that way. I need to get through what I'm dealing with in that moment and get myself back to the good place before I can go there. And not everyone is that way. So it's really important too to know your friends and know some people are like me, and that probably fits with my introverted personality, that I will withdraw. Other people, when they're under the pump, they just want more and more and more from their friends and they'll go even harder. So that's a really important factor to kind of understand and be aware of with all your friends and your different friends and how they all fit and what their friendship love language is, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think two things came up for me there. One is, so there's getting yourself healthy and feeling good and all that kind of thing, but then also a really beautiful friendship, you know, embraces you for all of your ups and downs, and it's a to and froing, and it's this beautiful harmony of, you know, you're, you know, and you think about those really beautiful friendships where you'll be in a down patch and they're there to support you, and they're in a down patch and you support them, and that's like, there's nothing better than that beautiful friendship where, you know, you've just got those friends that you can 100% rely on. So it doesn't mean we'll have to be floating around like, well, we're all happy, perfect all the time at all. But it's just knowing yourself and having that self-worth. And then I think also letting to touch on the loneliness thing. They talked about that in the Friendship Project. They said the thing that happens in our brains, like when we feel down and a bit lonely, we actually withdraw and retreat more. Mm-hmm. So that is, you know, and I guess this is, again, that beauty of a really beautiful friendship is you sort of, you get to know each other and what each other needs. And so you can be like, oh, she's withdrawing. Okay, A, I see what's happening here. B, I know she needs this certain help and support when this happens, you know, and that's what a real friendship is knowing those friends like that.
And I have to jump in now because 2 days ago this happened when I was under the pump massively, and I'm showing you this beautiful little vase of flowers. Beautiful. Because I had a call from a girlfriend in the middle of the day needing help with, you know, some work, and could I help with it? And I was so under the pump, and I so wanted to help her because she's the friend that is, you know, the godmother of all friends and would do anything for you. And in that moment, I could not. And I had to say, I can't help. And that was kind of the end of the conversation, apart from me getting off the phone and feeling terrible for the rest of the afternoon that I didn't have capacity to help in that moment. And, you know, 5 o'clock in the evening, I'm still on the view anyway. And in she comes through the front door, bunch of flowers and some, you know, homemade goodies. And that actually, I told her, it made me feel worse. I was in tears because here I was being the shit friend and she's bringing me things to, like, because she just picked up on the fact that I was not in my best place in that moment. So that's just a perfect little example of it. But
and I think that says a lot about that person too, because someone else could take that the complete opposite way and feel, you know, upset, annoyed, angry. It makes
I didn't care. I didn't have the fact that I didn't have time to do that for them meant that I didn't value that friendship, and that is the absolute opposite.
Exactly.
Right. Some ways you are just so bloody under the pump.
But that's honesty too. Like, you can't be honest with your friends, and that's one thing I've found over the journey with friendships, and when they've shifted or changed, it's not being honest with each other, particularly if you're struggling. And I feel like we're all getting better as we get older about our struggles. But I think there's still a stigma, particularly among women and men as well, they don't want to admit that they're struggling. You know, it's like we should be able to do everything. We should be able to, you know, be crazy and, you know, busy and do all the things we do as mothers and women and sisters and wives and friends and never actually put your hand up and say, you know what, this is really bloody hard this week and I'm not going so well. You know, asking for help, which we've talked about on the podcast before. So I get frustrated when I have friends who won't admit that things aren't great. And I know it's really hard. It's an ingrained thing and they're probably always like that. But I find for me, that's part of that two-way street of friendship. It's sharing good times and bad, because if you don't know, you don't understand how they work, then you can't help someone. Can you?
And it gives you permission.
Of course.
When they show that side as well, it gives you permission for someone, like speaking person, for somebody who finds that hard to do. When I see other friends do it and let their guard down, then I feel safe to do it as well.
Definitely.
And that's what brings you closer.
It does.
Then what about for someone who might be listening, who's like, okay, so obviously I think all of us here, we feel like we have beautiful, healthy friendships and it's really important to us. And, you know, we try to be good friends and we're all doing the work. So, you know, we've got a lot of perspective and all that kind of stuff, I guess. And we try to, we've obviously all been working on these things for a long time. But what about for someone who like doesn't feel like they have these, you know, probably precious friendships, or, you know, they are feeling a bit lonely. Like when I was listening to the Friendship Project, they referred to this Dr. Vivek Murphy, who was in the Obama administration as like the head doctor, and he's written this book called Together. And they were saying how you need to have like the three things that you need in terms of relationships that are an intimate one, a friendship group of like just friends, and then a community and feeling belonging. So again, going back to that idea that having these friends is really important part of having good well-being and everything. So what would we say to someone who doesn't feel, I mean, I was shocked to hear how many people wrote back to the girls and said they didn't even have like one friend. Oh, and the other point on that is often we think we have to have heaps of friends.
Yes.
It's not about quantity, it's about quality. Like they were saying, somewhere between 3 to 5 really quality friends is all we need. So what advice have we got to people who don't even feel like they've got 3 to 5 quality friends, and how would we go out and navigate those friendships, or, like, you know, try and find them, or what do we need to do?
I think you have to put yourself out there and I suppose find something that, you know, you enjoy as well, like finding friendships through something you enjoy, whether it be, you know, a hobby or sport or recreation. And I remember a friend of mine many, many years ago, she'd moved here from overseas and she was having a baby just before me. And, you know, I said, you should go along to a mother's group. And she's just like, it was the last thing she wanted to do. She just said, I don't, you know, because we had a few friends with already had children and some having. I said, you really, really should go because, you know, mother's groups are important for lots of reasons. And so she ended up going and, you know, she's still lifelong friends with a couple of girls she met from that group. And you're not going to go to a mother's group or even a anything group and become friends with every single person in the room. That's just not reality. But you never know where you might find that soulmate or that friend. And but it is hard to put yourself out there. And I think the reality is these days you can find friendships online as well. You know, it doesn't, you know, I think the world just operates differently now, and whether it be through, as I said, a passion project, or you might join an online writing group, or, you know, something that you're into, or an online book club. So I think it is hard, but you do have to put yourself out there.
And you have to be open to it as well. And I'm astounded sort of on the other side of that, Katrina, to the number of people that I've encountered over the years, women who have said, I've got my friendship quota.
Yes. My husband says that.
I don't
need new friends. I go, yeah, that's so offensive. I find that really, like, I do get it though.
Yeah, I get it too. But I also feel really sad about that because I think of the amount of new friendships that I've made along the way too that, they just enrich your life so much at different stages of life because people come into your life, you know, when you're at, say it's somebody you meet now and your kids are teenagers and that stage, it's very different to people you've met when your kids are babies as well. So
totally.
That's finding new friends along the way, gathering new ones along the journey is just such a beautiful part of life. And I would, I guess we're all different, aren't we? But I just couldn't imagine not being open to that.
Yeah. And that just reminded me too of how you talking, Lee, about friendships changing between, you know, ages and stages. And I think you have to be really mindful of being respectful of how friendships do shift over time. And sometimes people can get pissed off when they go, oh, you know, I don't see that person anymore and they don't ring me or whatever. Because, you know, their kids might be at school together now or they might, you know, be in different, you know, kids' friendships shift and that's another whole conversation by itself.
Absolutely. I think that's that beautiful saying that friends come into your life for a reason, a season or a lifetime. That's really nice to think about when you apply it to your own friendships over the years as well because it helps you to not feel hurt yourself about different friendships that might have shifted along the way. It's not that if you bumped into that person tomorrow, you would still be friends. It just may be that for the last 5 or 6 years, you haven't crossed paths.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where that season thing can come in. And it makes you feel really nice about that friendship, that was a beautiful part of our life. We had this amazing connection and bond during that time. Yes, if we caught up tomorrow, it would be nothing will have changed. But I think it's just a really nice kind of approach that you can.
What is that saying again? Friendships come into your life
or a reason, a season, or a lifetime. But back to what you were saying, Katrina, about finding friends for those that maybe don't have them. I think, like you're saying, Christy, the groups, those kind of structured groups, are really helpful. Things like, you know, gyms as well, and different sorts of groups. But I think also you have to be brave when you go to things and. As you know, the introvert in our group and you girls being extroverts, it's not okay for me to say, oh, I'm an introvert, so that's harder for me. I might have to work harder at it, yeah, but that's never held me back. I will always, anything that I'm at, I will try to be really aware of my body language, to try and be open to other people who might be standing there. Like, you will know, you will have been on the sidelines of one of your kids' sporting matches or something, and you can tell by people's body language the ones who you would feel comfortable to approach and the ones that you wouldn't. Some are really closed off and you think, oh, that might be, if I put myself out there, that might not go well. Whereas the ones who are standing, smiling and kind of willing to exchange with you, that's where you'll gravitate. So I think it's being aware of your own body language, but then being brave to go up to someone and just introduce yourself. It's actually not hard. What's the worst thing that can happen?
Yeah, and I think if I think about like some of my most recent, like, I mean, I've only known Meg Meg and I think have been friends for like 5 years now. And I mean, we sort of sought each other out. Like, I went and saw her speak somewhere and I was like, oh my God, I want to be her friend.
I love that.
And it wasn't until about 2 years later. And then she actually just rang me out of the blue and we started chatting. And now we speak every single week for like, we walk in the mornings and we speak for an hour. And I've only seen Meg in real life like half a dozen times. No kidding. We have long, really deep in-depth conversations every week. And the girls did say on this friendship thing too that it's, you do have to actually talk. So one of the things that I've noticed is like, I love the voice message now. Love the voice message.
Do you now? Really?
I've noticed. Bloody voice girls message.
Know. Okay, so the number one way that I communicate with people now is by the voice message. It's just like the train because I now actually do not like talking on the phone very much. But they did say that it's not enough just to put a smiley emoji on a friend's Instagram post. Like, you actually have to put in effort for proper real friendships. And I was like, it's so true. And so Meg and I have this dedicated time each week where we have these really in-depth conversations and it is so powerful and so important. And so I think that's, you know, it's another part of it is you do actually have to put in the time and effort for those really, really proper friendships. But that doesn't mean it's like, you know, it has to be every week or anything. It's just those. And also those little check-ins, like not just a smiley emoji, but just like they said, you know, little check-ins every now and then. But in terms of making new friends and just, you're so right, like you've just got to be brave. And you can tell, you know, you can sense the people who are your people. And it's not about trying to be friends with everybody. Like, don't try and manufacture it with people who you don't think are your people. And sometimes when you live in rural communities, you know, you become friends with people who you wouldn't necessarily be friends with in another environment. And that's great. Like, you have all different kind of layers of friendships too, I think. You know, there's those sort of, you know, easygoing friends that, you know, but then you have your ones who are the deep and meaningful ones. And like, it's okay to have all that nuance as well.
And they're all as important as each other, aren't they? And they talk about in some of those other podcasts we were referencing that hierarchy of friends. And just because it's somebody that you talk to or you text message 15 times a day, or the friend that immediately responds to your text when you send someone, that doesn't mean that just because they're the quickest to respond that that's your best friend as such.
I think it might be a good time in this conversation to perhaps shift back to, you know, talking about, I suppose, what we might do or offer in forms of tips or not advice. I mean, we're certainly not here to give advice, but just to talk about what we may have done or what we would do if we were sort of faced with a friendship that was shifting. So mm-hmm. not necessarily a friendship that might have ended or challenging. I mean, yes, it can be challenging when it shifts, but so we might just start, we might just sort of, you know, all share what we would recommend. I know for me, when I've had challenging relationships, and I've had a couple in the past, which have really impacted me, like kind of, you know, because I'm such a positive person and avoid conflict at all costs. And I just did not know how to cope with a challenging time. So I didn't kind of address it with the person. I just kind of dealt with it within myself. And I actually did the loving kindness meditation. I've used that at least half a dozen times in my life. And I'll put a link to it in the show notes. And I've used this with my children as well. And a loving kindness meditation is basically just a daily sort of mantra meditation that you send love to the people in the world that you know and love, like your family. You send love to people in the world that you don't know, and you send love and kindness to that person who is challenging you. And if you do it over time and repetitively, it actually does shift. Because what it does, it shifts your mind. It shifts your own mind and your own approach. It opens your heart to the person that is challenging you. And it doesn't necessarily change the person, but it changes the way you think about it. So for me, it is 100% worked every single time. And I know that's non-confrontational and it's probably, you know, not confronting the issue and all that stuff, but it works for me. And then I can just get on with my life and not having to carry the burden of this, of a shifted friendship or relationship that has really weighed me down. So that's all I can offer.
I think that's a perfect approach. And I guess it raises the question, is that that's a great way to go through life. And if that works, then beautiful. Is this where we're saying, as we get older and more mature and wiser and so forth, and in our friendships, that we should be trying to have difficult conversations with the other person when we're in a challenging situation? I don't know. I am exactly like you. I will avoid confrontation, you know, as much as I possibly can. And that's not to say I don't walk away at times feeling hurt by things that might have happened in a friendship or feeling disappointed. So ultimately it's about protecting yourself, isn't it? So in doing a loving kindness meditation like that, that helps you move through it and to feel good again. But then if those patterns of behavior keep happening in the relationship, I don't know, does there come a time where you need to raise it? I've only ever done that once in my life in a friendship, and it was really, really challenging. And no matter how careful you are in choosing your words and how kind you are, people still get hurt. The other person gets hurt and
absolutely
get hurt.
That's the bottom
line. Yes, you've raised it, but in my experience, it hasn't repaired things necessarily. Maybe it gets it to a point where things are, you know, you can move through it and things are manageable, but I've only ever had that experience once, and I wouldn't say it resulted in 100% repair, but that's okay again. And I, like you said before, Katrina, I never will buy into this business of another person being toxic. I just think that's such a cop-out, and it means you're taking no responsibility of the role you play in that relationship. Yes, there are toxic dynamics, but you've played a part in that as well, and I will 100% own that along the way. But yeah, I think it's really challenging. I wouldn't ever be encouraging people to ghost. I think that sounds horrible. can't think that that's happened to
me. Sounds like a lot of work too.
I bloody hope I haven't done it, but definitely when I've over the years and over a lifetime experience challenges in a friendship, I will put distance there just for my own self-preservation. And sometimes when you put that little bit of distance there, it doesn't need to be permanently. That little bit of distance just can help you move through a particular stage, and then things are okay again. Other times you put that little bit of distance there and it gradually becomes more and more distance, and then that friendship, I mean, yes, they're still, if you bump into them, you still will obviously always have a conversation.
Yeah.
You're still a friend, and they were a friend for a reason. That never changes. So I don't know if that answers any question.
Yeah, no, I think the distance thing is really important because it's, and again, it can be done in a gentle kind of like non-confrontational way, you know, but yes, and I know it's avoidance, you know, but I don't see it the same as ghosting.
And what about, we'd probably, because we are such communicators via text message these days too, a lot of people, I think, and I've heard examples of some of the women that contributed to those other episodes we were listening to sharing their experiences, they may send a message over the phone, you know, a text to say what's going on with you, and then kind of have it out over a text message. I don't think that that's going to help at all. I think getting up close is going to be the best way.
Nah.
Always, but it's hard.
So I guess, Madvin, I think, again, just to normalize, like, this stuff does have such a big impact on us. It really does, and it's okay. Like, I think about back to my situation, it was so hard. I found it so hard. It was debilitating at times. Like, it was awful. It is just, just normalizing that, okay, we're all normal and we're all human and relationships are crucial. And so if you're struggling with these things, it's all normal and we all have these challenges. So I guess, you know, some of the things I was thinking about is there's no right or wrong way to, you know, end a friendship or to transition out of a friendship. There really is. It's just like a romantic breakup. You've just got to sort of, I guess, equip yourself with the tools and learn how to do it in the best way that you think you can. And I guess I was sort of thinking about it in two different parts. One, that is the internally you processing it and dealing with it and letting go of that friendship and the grieving of the friendship. And then the second part of it is how you deal with the other person. So there's the internal processing of it for you, and then there's how do you communicate that with the other person in a healthy way. And I do think that is learning the tools like nonviolent communication, being clear and kind, learning how to have difficult conversations. Like, that's the ideal, perfect scenario. The reality is you can't control how someone else is going to respond to what you say to them. And yes, sometimes it might be a complete shock to them. They might not know at all. And I mean, if they're the sort of person that you may be having challenges with, maybe they don't have a lot of self-awareness, might be some narcissistic tendencies going on there. Like, maybe they don't see what's happening. So they're not necessarily going to take it very well. So you just have to be prepared that if you've made the decision of what this is the best thing for you, you can't control how that other person's going to respond to what you say. And you have to be able to just really let go of that. And that is a big part of the work as well. And it's really, really hard. So just knowing that this stuff is really hard, but the better I think you can equip yourself to process it within yourself using loving kindness meditations. I've used cord cutting meditations, forgiveness meditations, all that kind of stuff. And then also learning the tools to communicate in a healthy way, knowing that you cannot control how that other person is going to receive that and being able to let go of that. Like, that's the best case scenario. But the reality is, people will be people, and it's just hard. Human relationships are the most challenging thing we have to face. So just navigate it as best you can. And, you know, some friendships will last the test of time and others won't, and it's all okay.
And I think it's important to just to, you know, as you said, you know, normalizing it and admit that realize that it is hard. And also just being kind to yourself, because I think if you can be kind to yourself through any challenging friendship, then I know that it's going to make you be kinder to others around you, because that's just how it is. If you are, you know, beating yourself up on the inside and not loving yourself, then that's going to have a negative impact on the people around you, I think, more than anything.
Definitely.
We probably need to wrap up this conversation about friendship and move on to some spreading the good stuff for this episode. Are we happy to do that?
Yeah.
I haven't even thought about this all I was doing was talking about friendship today. So you girls.
Well, I might kick off if that's okay. So I
did want to say before you just,
sorry, though.
Yep. one other thing that I've found really helpful, and this I will admit, I feel in a really fortunate position, is to be surrounded by people like you, Katrina, and you, Christy, over the years, to be in friendships that are really healthy, two-way, and also being with the kind of women that don't gossip about other people, or when we get together, there's never that kind of conversation. So it's always really healthy conversation that we have. And that, to me, it just models such great friendship to know moving forward what you're looking for, and to always have those people to go to. You know, if you were having a challenge with another friend, to know you've got someone that you can go to that's going to give you really good advice about how to manage that, rather than be the kind of friend who might say, oh, yeah, that's toxic, ditch them. Because there's also, I know people who've had those kinds of friends in their lives. So it's probably really about taking some time to examine who you surround yourself with as well.
Yeah, and that's actually what I'm going to talk about this week. So I just wanted to sort of mention the first thing, and we often sort of talk about how we're feeling. And I read this little quote, a comment made by Jack at the Broad Place this week, and it kind of really sums up how I'm feeling. At the moment, I'm feeling really free, and I think this has a lot to do with it. So she just talked about, you know, all of a sudden, you know, considering where we were only a few short months ago, you know, in the last 3 years, she's written here, sitting at a cafe with friends, being able to dance and to go to parties and festivals, crossing state borders and flying overseas, not wearing a mask all the damn time. And let's not forget all those moments and just relapse into our old conditioning of what we were like before COVID. And just, you know, I just thought when I read that, I thought it's so spot on. We have just moved on so quickly from life that was so restrictive and hard. And it's just really created this sort of feeling of freedom, I suppose, for me. I don't know if anyone else is feeling that, but not yet.
Maybe when you get on that plane and go to Vietnam. I will be feeling free soon. The one thing I can share that is spreading the good stuff in my life is that I have closed the books at the Leonard Word for the next 6 months. So aside from finishing all of our close the books to new work. Sorry.
No, closing the business.
Closing the business. No, I've had to. We have been smashed over these last 2 years, and the last 12 months in particular. So for the next 6 months, we're not taking on any new client work at all. So we will just be finishing all the projects we're working on and just focusing on our existing clients and retainer work, which is not, that doesn't have an immediate, doesn't, you know, change things immediately, but
it will.
In 4 weeks' time, I'm going to be sitting here beside you reading from what you just read from Christy, saying, yep, I'm feeling that turning, which I cannot wait for.
I know. And I suppose even, you know, just talking about freedom and getting away, like I've just packed my bags and I'm heading off to Dartford later on this afternoon with a group of beautiful friendship, you know, girls and our Stitch and Bitch girls. And we don't stitch or bitch, just by the way, but we sort of came together as, you know, there's a few sets of sisters and some old friends and some new friends in this group. And we just laughed the whole bloody weekend. And what you were saying about the no gossip, like we only ever gossip about the royal family, which I'm not interested in at all. And we just have a belly laugh. And, you know, it just feels like cut. We do it once a year. And it feels like Christmas Eve, honestly. Even last night when I was packing, it was just so exciting. So friendships are so bloody important, and I can't wait to do that. So that's me.
That just feels like that was meant to be, that we spoke about this today when you're hitting up for that weekend.
So lucky. So lucky.
Who's that, Mr. Trainer?
Oh, okay. Well, I've been feeling a bit frustrated with myself. I wrote about this in my newsletter because I am bloody hopeless at life admin and any sort of admin, and I hate filling in files. And it's just, it actually has been really getting to me the last week, like just how hopeless I am. I put Daisy down as the coach for her junior, like, netball team. So then the coach had to ring up and change. And, like, just all these annoying little things. I'm just like, why am I so hopeless at this stuff? So just really finding that very frustrating. I think it's to do with my perimenopausal stage and my brain is just not functioning like it should be. I don't know. But it's just been getting to me. I've just been finding that very frustrating. But in terms of what I'm loving, I am loving, I guess, lots of things at the moment as well. Like, just loving that. I really enjoyed the school holidays and camping, and I'm loving these conversations with you guys and being back, you know, having these really important conversations. I'm loving listening to wonderful things on my podcast. And just, I love that we can just get to share this stuff. You can just tune in and listen to other people talk about this stuff that is so important and then it can make such a big difference in our lives. Absolutely love that.
And you can do it on the run, can't you? I love to read, but there's so little time at the minute to sit down and actually read. But I can be hanging washing on the line or running off to kids' sport or whatever it might be in between client meetings, and I can listen to a podcast. It is such a great thing.
Yeah, it's a gift, isn't it?
It really, really is. And Chris, I was thinking about what you were saying about that sense of freedom. I don't know. I can. It's a yin and yang for me. Like, I love that humans are actually so quick to actually just readjust to whatever situation. When you think about it, we do just adjust to whatever we're in. We all adjusted to the crazy times of COVID pretty bloody quickly, even though it was hard. And then now we're all adjusting back. I do feel a little bit sad that we haven't kind of, I feel like there is a lot of rush, busy, hectic, overwhelm, loneliness. There's a lot of actually kind of dark things that are happening, whereas I had hoped, I guess, and like so many of us did, that we would learn so much from that COVID time. We would all slow down a bit more. We'd all do these things. And I'm just not sure that we necessarily are. We have followed that on as much as what I probably would have liked us to. But I also love that as humans, we're just, you know, we're adaptive and we're responsive and we just get on with things. So it's a yin and a yang of that one for me.
Yeah, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
So Lee, what about you? What are you loving other than the fact that you've mentally know you're going to have a break?
I feel so proud of myself for that.
I'm proud of you.
Don't think I've ever done that well. Loving, gosh, lots of things. Well, I have been going really hard on the podcast, so I've been listening to lots of those, and I think we've spoken before. My favourite ones, go-to ones at the moment, are just like this one that we're recording is ones of women chatting about the big issues. I just find them so helpful, and just they normalise everything that's going on in life. I also like listening to, you know, business, entrepreneur, ownership ones as well, women running their own things. But yeah, I guess just at the moment I still, yeah, I am, I hate using the word busy, but I've got to be honest about this. And
yeah.
And I know, you know, that might not be how either of you are feeling, but I'm also mindful that there's probably plenty of women that are listening to our podcast as well who can relate to where I am at the minute, and that is really, life is really busy and too busy. And I know the signs of that, but sometimes you can't just always just stop. If you're trying to, you know, run, if you are running your own business, like I'm in this situation, you can't just suddenly stop when things get too hard. You've committed, you've got people relying on you, you've got clients waiting for work to come in, working on so many projects. So sometimes life is like that and it's okay. So you need to find ways to look after yourself through that. And I am very good at doing that these days. But also there comes a time when you realize you can't keep going at that pace.
Exactly.
And I probably needed to do that a couple of months ago, but I actually couldn't have done it a couple of months ago, even if I wanted to, because I was in the thick of work of projects that were midway. So now I'm at the point of a few things finishing up and knowing that, right, I don't want to get back to where I was there. So what do I do? And this is what I do.
See, that's the key thing though, Lee. Like, it's the noticing. And I had the same thing earlier this year too. I was like, whoa. And so, but a lot of people just are so in that, they're unconsciously just rushing all the time. They don't have the space to actually notice, like, hang on a minute, this is actually not what I want. How am I going to adjust it? And you're dead right. We can't be balanced in life all the time. There will be these times when we are just busy, but then it's about noticing when it's off kilter and how do we reset and how do we rebalance or how do we make adjustments? And then maybe you like being busy like that for a little while, and that's okay as well, you know?
Don't get me wrong. I love my work, and there are times I put that over all else. So it hit me recently, it must have been at Easter when we were staying home and I said, I'm not working over Easter, because I had worked so many weekends leading up to it. And then on the first day where we were home and I wasn't working, I walked around in a circle and did not know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
But it was so bad. You asked my husband. He just kept looking at me saying, what are you doing? He's like, you need a... So I went and sat at my piano and tried to play the piano, which I haven't played for 2 years and was rubbish, and then was all down on myself that I can't play the piano anymore. So all my things I used to love that I had just do not have time to fit those in, I tried to do them all in that day.
That's a really good reminder that you do need a hobby.
So that was when it hit me. That's need to slow down and pull back, because suddenly I don't know what to do unless I'm working or running around or all that stuff again. And that's, you know, that has happened at various stages over my life, and that's okay, because I do love work But I also know that I know when I've stretched things too far, and that's definitely what's happened. And I cannot wait, whether it's being in a position where I can take one day off a week or a half a day off a week to,
I mean, I'm not going to
go do the groceries. That's not going to be and a half a day off a week where I can ring up a friend talking about female friendships. Let's go for a walk. Let's go have a coffee. Let's go up for a bike ride, or just get on the paddleboard. You know,
yeah.
Just it's been such a long time since I've had the freedom to do that. So let's check in. Hold me accountable to this. But I reckon in 8 weeks' time, I'll be there.
And I think it's a really good reminder, Lee, when you talk about, you know, when you're not working or busy, what you have then to turn to. And this is, I think as your kids get older, I know for us, like for Troy and I with our girls away at school, like we need hobbies, because otherwise I'm sitting at home waiting for him to come home from work so we can have, you know, dinner. And so for me to even be doing this yoga course, and Troy's taken up golf again, but we've already put, you know, not filled the space, but found something to do when we're not running the kids.
That's not my problem though. I've got plenty of hobbies. My problem is I'm so wound up that
can't relax.
The thought of doing them, I just couldn't even push myself to do those things that I love. I know that they'll make me feel very much better, but there's just something had happened through me just being in my office 24/7 again, that
it's a habit.
It's a habit. That's right. It's
a going and doing those things. Yeah. I had to push myself so hard to go and do the things that make me feel good.
That's right. Because you're in that zone, and so then it's uncomfortable to go and do something else because you're used to that. Your body, yeah. So it's just that change.
It's not that I feel guilty about it. There's no guilt associated with letting myself go and do those things. I knew that they're the self-care things I needed to do, but it was me saying, nah, I don't want to do it. And I don't know why, but
yeah.
Anyway, it's I don't know if anyone can relate to that, but
no, I'm sure. Actually, I just wanted to touch on too, when talking about podcasts and how, you know, it's great to listen to lots of different ones. And I just dived back into a podcast called Future Setting, which I hadn't listened to for ages, and it's one of my favorite podcasts. And it's funny, I had just been in my favorite shop in Melbourne, Gorman, who I love, and I bought myself a beautiful top. And the artwork on the top was a woman, because they do collaborations, Gorman, with Australian artists. I don't know if anyone's seen them before. And there was this beautiful shirt I bought, and it's kind of like an ocean water theme. And I'm a real ocean water person. So I thought, oh, I have to, got to buy that. I wasn't going to buy anything, but I thought, you know, I like getting nice quality things, not very often, that last a long time. And the lady in the shop was telling me about this beautiful artist who did the artwork for this dress. And then I was driving home listening to Future Studying podcast, and she had that artist on a conversation. She did the artwork for her beautiful Future Study book, and I just thought to myself, are you serious? Like, that's kind of how
that had been talked back. You would have been.
Absolutely. I would have been ringing. Anyway, but I just love how, you know, I love that synchronicity with the things you sort of listen to or run into. And yeah, it was just really nice.
That's beautiful.
In the show notes, because our artwork's beautiful. And so is Gorman. And all the other things we've mentioned today, particularly all the little tips and tools and podcasts and meditations and whatever. So thank you, ladies, for a wonderful conversation. If anyone out there, wants to share any thoughts or feelings on this, please touch base. And we look forward to spreading the good stuff with you again in a couple more weeks.
Yes, and be brave. Reach out to that person that you might want to make friends with, and they're probably busting to be friends with you as well. So just give it a go.
And do what do they say? The horseshoe, not the circle.
Oh, I love that. Go and enjoy it. The horseshoe, not the circle.
Yeah.
You're not
close. Stand in a horseshoe, not in a circle.
Oh,
you know?
Love that.
Always be open in that group to new people coming in. Yeah. Wow, not closed off.
That's really cool. I like that. Friday, thanks, ladies.
Thanks, guys.
See you in a
fortnight.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Spreading the Good Stuff. It is so lovely to have your company here. If you enjoyed the show, we would absolutely love it if you hit the little arrow at the top of the podcast iTunes page there, or like it on Spotify, and also give us a rating. 5 would be fabulous. If it's not a 5 for you, then maybe just don't bother. That's okay. But if it is, we would love for you to help us spread the good stuff more by supporting us, and also tell your friends about it. We all know that word of mouth is the best way to learn about new things. Maybe share it on your socials, do a little screenshot of the podcast tile, whatever works for you. But we would just absolutely love it if you would help us spread the good stuff. Thanks, guys.